Hi, babe.
Hey, man.
How you doing?
Dude, oh, man. I'm starting to get cabin fever.
Oh, You're on lockdown again?
No, we're not on lockdown yet. We will be on lockdown soon.
Yeah. Is that what they're saying about LA? They're going to shut it back down?
No, they're not saying. Nobody's saying that right now. But if these numbers keep trending the way they're trending, I mean, it's going to be the way it is. You know, animation takes a really long time. It takes so long.
Can you hire someone to help you with your project?
No, I can. I'm not at that stage yet. But it takes really, really long, and we haven't even started. We're not even close to animating yet. We're still putting the writer's room together. But thank you so much, Adult Swim, for giving us the budget to put a writer's room together.
Oh, so you're hiring writers.
Yes, because I'm really excited. That's a lot of fun, and I've never done that before, and it'll be really cool to bounce ideas.
Now, do you have lots of people that you have worked with before that you think might be good for this?
This is what I was told. You never know how someone is in a writer. Someone could be really great at pitching ideas and stuff like that to you, but when they get into a writer's room, it could be something completely different. So I went out and I vetted a bunch of people. I talked to a bunch of people. The people that I also people that I wanted to be in the writer's room because this takes so long, because animation takes so long, they were available, and now they're no longer available. And so
I remember being in the Scrubs writer's room, and there were sort of all different types of writers at the table. There were some people, like Mike Schwartz, who's in this episode as Lloyd, for example, who were just hilarious with jokes. Some of them not even usable in the show, just a hilarious human being. And then there were people who were like really good at story. They weren't necessarily the jokes people, but they would help you break the whole arc of the episode. And so Bill had assembled this sort of team of different people with different skill sets.
Right. But this one is just ideas as of right now, and but we're not there yet. We haven't even opened up the writer's room yet. We've got the people that are going to do it. They've all said yes.
Good.
But now we're waiting on, I guess, the availability. I don't know what we're waiting on now, but we're not doing it this week. We were supposed to start this week, and now we're starting next week.
Okay.
Animation takes forever, dude.
Well, yeah, but you're not animating anything right now. You're just in the writing phase.
No,
right?
Period takes forever. Like that's the rule of thumb in the industry of animation. You know, it always takes forever. Every meeting is so important.
Okay. Well, I would have thought that the writing was no different than any other writing. You're just writing. You're not sitting there trying to move a piece of clay around.
No, but you got to write to the specs of the, first of all, you got to write to scale. You have to write to, all right, we have a budget, so you can't get out of control and write something that's so crazy that, you know.
Right, well, that's like anything. I'm making an indie movie. I can't make there be a plane crash.
Right. Exactly.
Can happen off camera, though.
Right.
Oh, my God, look at that plane crash.
Exactly, but with animation, you can be big to a certain point and then kind of got to scale back.
I hear you.
Things, so.
Well, you could probably
learn
a lot from Seth Green because he's done this, right? He could be a good mentor to you.
Well, I'm working with his company. We're
good.
Working with Stupid
Buddy
Studios.
Well, even better. Even better.
He's always been, him and Matt have always been very, 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 very generous.
You should invite Seth Green to come on the podcast.
That'd be a lot of fun. I wonder if he'd do it.
Why would you're friends with Seth Green? Why would Seth Green be too cool for school to do our podcast?
Well, we're a Scrubs rewatch show, so he'd probably be like, I was never on Scrubs.
Well, that doesn't matter. We could do a special episode with Seth Green where we talk about his very long career and how he segued into producing Robot Chicken and all the many things he's done.
I'm down to have him on. Seth,
Daniel,
come on the podcast.
Daniel, wouldn't you be interested in that, Daniel?
Very much so. I love Seth Green.
Yeah.
I love Seth Green too. Wow, you guys are speaking my language here. Look
Seth
at this.
Seth Green is a beloved performer.
Very much so.
Seth Green's amazing.
I want to talk to him about being the son to
Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil.
Scott.
You want to talk to him about Scott Evil?
Yeah. should we get into the show?
Sure. Where's Joel?
Joelle, we had to move our time today, and Joelle couldn't do noon, so she's joining us late.
And a rap by little old me, Lamar.
So this is going to be a slightly more masculine show today, everybody.
Well, in that case, let's get this done. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Some stories about a show we made. About a bunch of dogs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that we all should know.
What an episode. It is the moment that where everyone's lives changed and we got to see Donald do the poison dance.
This is a very, very epic episode. This is the episode where ZB had pulled some stunt casting and had his then girlfriend.
With my girlfriend, the Mandy Moore.
On the show
to
be his new love interest.
And she's great. She's so funny in it.
She's really good. Are you kidding
me? She's really funny in it. She's got great comic timing, that Mandy Moore. And there's got a lot in it. It's got Saltine. It's got Let's just start with the biggest topic. I know we've touched on this before. But slow it down.
Okay.
Tell everyone the story of how you didn't even read the script for the poison dance. You had been told to put together a little routine because you're a good dancer. And you showed up and had no clue and had to improvise a dance that has now been made immortal in Fortnite.
First of all, I think I was also late that day. So I am. So at this point, I'm newly divorced and I'm out on the town.
Yeah.
And I'm dating again. And so, and also Scrubs is really, 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 really popular at this point.
Right. So you were out and about at the clubs, as the kids say.
I was out in the clubs trying to make it happen, you know, like everybody else that was at the club trying to make it happen. Anyway, so I think I was late. And I remember getting there and the whole crew's there. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And Bill goes, oh, you got to dance in this. This is the episode where, you know, you. I told
you. Now, did you truly know nothing about this?
I had no clue what we were doing that day.
Did we? You know, because some episodes we'd have read-throughs, and very more often than not, we didn't.
This was not one of those read-through episodes. Okay. And if it was, I don't remember. Listen, I got there, and I was totally caught off guard. Like,
okay, so you got there, and everyone's waiting. You're late. You're probably hungover. And they're like, hey, you know about the dance routine that you're going to do, right?
Right, but I couldn't understand why the whole company, everybody from Scrubs, from Crafty to everybody's in the room to watch this shit. And I'm like, what the
fuck? Because they probably thought Donald has worked out some hilarious dance. We want to see it.
So Rob goes first. And Rob really did work out a dance.
Of course. Rob had probably rehearsed for 2 weeks.
And so we're block shooting also, so everything has to be this way. You know, everything is facing the television, right?
Right, right.
And Rob goes first, and I have to immediately go up after him.
All right, now when you're watching Rob, you're going too fast. When you're watching Rob, are you laughing?
Yeah, dude, I can't stop laughing. I can't stop laughing. Because he literally did the whole song. So Rob does the whole working for... He even has everyone's watching to see what you can... He's worked out a whole routine. A whole... Right? To the, like, I'm not even sure if it's in the... Where he goes, oh, where he's singing. Like, he goes hardcore.
Yeah.
The whole song.
It's not an exaggeration to say that he probably worked that out over the course of 2 weeks.
Yes. Like, literally, like, dude, he's got, can you come out and play? And he throws up, like, a ball, an imaginary ball, and hits it with a bat. You know what I mean? An imaginary bat. Like
I love that, by the way, they go, and nice job on the costume. And he goes, what costume?
Yeah. My normal gear. But that's not his normal stuff. We know that the Todd.
Well, that might be his airbending uniform. I don't know.
Sure.
Anyway. So you're watching and you're going, Todd's killing it. What's going through your head? Are you starting to think about like what you're going to do?
No, because I all I know is the song is Poison. And I'm like, oh, I got this. Shit. Just please be faster than I remember. Because sometimes songs come on that you used to dance to and they're a little bit slower than you remember them being. And so the moves that you're going to do to them don't necessarily fit. And I'm like, if it's Poison, I think I could do this. If I, you know... And it comes on, I'm fucking drunk. Everybody's watching.
You're drunk. You're still drunk.
No, like I'm like still hungover from the club. Like I'm right. still, it's in right. me. You know what I mean? Like right. the shit's still in me.
Now, was this a Bell, it's a Bell Biv DeVoe song?
One of the best bands ever in the history of my life were New Edition and then what came from New Edition, Ralph Tresvant.
I
know.
I'm watching this. I told you I'm watching This Is Pop on Netflix and there's a whole section. But anyway, so does any of these moves, were they a part of their music video or are you just riffing?
No, I was just riffing. Like when I was a kid, me and my buddies would do New Edition like concerts. Like we'd put the music on and we'd work out routines and stuff like that. And we'd each pick one of the band members to be. And so a lot of the moves that I did in this were from me being a kid and me and my buddies dancing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But as far as putting it together in an order or anything like that, I had no clue what I was going to do.
I know, you're just freestyling. That's what's so amazing about it is that you hadn't, it's one thing that you're a good dancer, which you naturally are, but you also are just improvising this. You don't really know where you're going next with it,
no.
but you did it so seamlessly.
Yeah. Well, you know, part of it's like the lyrics, and because I knew the song so well, like this was one of my jams back in the day. Like I used to bump this shit all of the poison. Poison. Yeah, Spider-Man and Freeze in full effect. Mm-hmm. Like I knew the shit by heart regardless. So when it came on, I was like, oh, this is going to be easy. And what was great was when they cut finally and everybody cheered, part of me was like, you know, oh, thank God I just dodged a bullet. But the other part was like, you know, another part of me was like, oh, shit, I wonder how this is going to look when people see it. Because, and I knew it was going to be good because I remember I was dating a girl at the time. And John Michelle, when he was editing this, called me into the editing bay and she was with me. I made her come to work with me or she dropped me off at work that day. And I remember her being so fucking pissed off that she had to drop me off at work. And John Michelle called me in with her to see the rough cut. And he's like, dude, you got to see this. And she's like, and I remember the girl being like, ugh. She sits down and watches and it comes on and her whole attitude shifted as she was watching it. She went from being so pissed off that she had to be there to being so impressed. And I remember being like, oh, this shit could be fire.
Right.
And when it came out, you know, I knew a lot of
people. Years ago.
Yeah.
This is 2006. I looked it up. And this is something that Scrubs fans adore and has come up so many times in our life. And of course, what do you call it? Fortnite.
But even before, even with Fortnite, even though Fortnite did it, like it would pop up in memes and all types of shit.
Yeah.
All the time. You know?
People love it. Now, did you only do one take?
Yeah, that's only one take.
Wow.
She had shot two sizes probably simultaneously.
Yeah, no, it was two cameras.
Yeah, Linda Mendoza's the director.
Yeah.
Well, it's very funny, man. And then your whole arc in this episode is so funny that you piss off Kelso. So then he's made up no air banding signs.
Which is like Footloose, if you really think about it. A town with no dancing.
It's the plot of Footloose in Scrubs.
Yeah.
So that's Lloyd. The guy air banding as the drummer is Mike Schwartz, one of the funniest writers on Scrubs. Really, really great guy. And he would play Lloyd. We've spoken about him before. And you got Sammy playing. I think Sam was a left-handed guitarist, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, he played the bass. He played the bass.
No, I think the janitor's playing bass in the
air
band.
But usually Sam would play bass, like with his band.
Okay.
In real life, he would play a left-handed bass.
But he plays it left-handed. Now, I noticed at the end, everyone's pretty much selling it well. Like obviously, Schwartz is must be a decent drummer. He looks like he knows what he's doing.
Right.
Neil is at least making it look like he's playing the bass.
We listened to that song over and over and over again.
Sammy's like firing away on the fucking left-handed guitar.
I had never heard More Than a Feeling until this moment.
Until I shot it. That's funny. That's a famous song.
Yeah. More Than a Feeling. Used to play.
Scrubs
I
Wiki.
I may be dreaming.
By the way, just before you continue, Scrubs Wiki pointed out something that I didn't even know.
What's that?
You say a line that a lot of people say wrong. Without knowing it. It's not, I may be dreaming. It's I Begin Dreaming.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm just saying there's probably a lot of people whose minds are blown right now because they know the song very well, including Danil.
Count one right here.
Including Danil.
I had that recently with T-Pain. You guys know Buy You a Drink?
Yeah, I'm going to buy you a drink.
And then I'm going to take you home. I always thought it was ooh-wee-oo, I'm going to take you home. But no, he says, and then. And
you know
he was
what
just
my
like,
shit
yeah.
is? I'm in love with the bartender. She Great made song. Us drinks to drink. We drunk them and got drunk. That shit gets me every time, dude.
Is that T-Pain?
That's T-Pain. Yes. She
you
made
know, I
us
feel
drinks
such a, I feel
to
such an
drink.
Affinity for T-Pain ever since he was on this Is Pop special and said that Usher put him into a four-year depression for saying he ruined music.
Wow.
So sad.
I don't mean That's to laugh because depression is real and I know the man isn't lying, but I mean, I don't know anything about T-Pain, and he was so heartfelt in that documentary. I felt so bad for him. I hope Usher called him and fucking apologized.
Dude, that dude had some of the hottest songs I ever heard in my life, man.
Hell yeah.
I'm gonna buy you a drink. I'm in love with the stripper. Mm-hmm.
Features for days.
Dude.
He's on everything.
Well, you said, was it you or the documentary that they say that all these rappers, they didn't want to be associated with the auto-tune, but they wanted his hooks. So they had him do the fucking hooks with the sound that was so popular, and then they'd rap over it, and they felt like, I'm not really doing that shit. T-Pain's doing it in the background. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Shit.
They
That's
knew it
in
was
the doc,
popular.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. They knew it was popular. They were like, okay, I want to use this, but I'm not doing it. You do it.
Wayne did it.
Mm-hmm. So many people have done it.
So did Kanye. Kanye did it. Wayne did it. Yeah.
They talk about that in the documentary. It's great.
I'm telling you, Donald, you love this documentary. And for those of you who actually take our recommendations, unlike Donald, check it out. I'm going to continue watching. The next one is I watched the Auto-Tune one, and then there was the boy band one. Have you watched them all, Daniel?
I watched the first four. The next one is the about the Swedish songwriters.
Yes,
the one
about how all the pop
music
started becoming out of Swedish, Sweden and Stockholm.
It's a good one.
Well, I'm going to just put it out there. The people that deserve a lot of respect in the game right now because what they did was they took their style and ran with it. New Edition and the Jackson 5 for sure. Like all the Motown boy bands, New Edition. Mm-hmm. But then also Brandy Norwood, Brandy, Mo to the E to the Moesha, Brandy. Mm. All of these, when she was out, her and Monica were the only two doing it. And then all of these little girls came out doing their music too. That's why you got Mandy Moore. That's how you got freaking.
How dare you lump Mandy Moore in with. I'm just kidding.
Well, but that's how you got Mandy. That's how you got freaking Jessica.
Well, I don't
that's
think there's a Brandy episode of the This Is Pop.
But they all know. But all of them know. All of them know. If it wasn't for Brandy paving the way for these young artists to see how it's done, it wouldn't have been done. So
did we talk about
Brandy,
Mama Say Mama Makasa?
I think it's I'm going to say it on the side of the mountaintop or something
no,
like that.
No, it's I'm going to say it once again, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to say it once again, I'm not going to stop.
I thought it was I'm going to say it on the side of the mountaintop. I'm going to say it on the side of the mountaintop.
Google that
I still
shit.
Like, I still like Mama Say Mama Sa Mama Kusa.
That's what I always said. Mama Say Mama Sa Mama Kusa. But apparently it's I'm going to say it once again, I'm not going to stop. Right, Daniel?
I'm going to say it one more time, I'm not going to stop.
I'm going to say it one more time, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to
say it one more time, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to say it one more time, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to say it one more time, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to say it one more time. Sing it to the world. Sing it to the world.
There you go. You've learned something today on the podcast. It's I'm going to say it once again. I'm not going to stop. It's not I'm going to say Mama Kusa.
It's not I'm going to say it on the side of the mountaintop.
And it's not I may
That's
be
That's hilarious.
Dream-
That's hilarious. Somebody actually told me that once. I'm going to say it on the side of the mountaintop. Wait, what? Why not just on the top of the mountain?
Yeah, just go to the top of the mountain. Why are you
Why are you going to be on the side of the mountain?
Why not go all the Why not go all the way to the top of the mountain? You've come this far.
Hit the summit.
Maybe he gets tired along his hike.
I'm going to say it. Fuck it. I can't go no further. I'm just going to say it on the side of the mountaintop.
Yeah.
All right?
I was going to my plan when I set out this morning was to say it on top of the mountaintop. But I'm fucking tired, so I'm just going to say it on the side of the mountain. And also, I may be dreaming. I may be dreaming. It's I begin dreaming. So there you go. All right. So there's a very funny subplot where JD is trying to rub it in Elliot's face that he's landed this beautiful, stunning girl.
Yes.
Who's not just beautiful, but she's his exact female clone.
Yeah, it's
clone.
Like the doppelganger.
Yes, she's dorky. She likes Harry Potter. She doesn't like sports. She drives a scooter.
Not only that, she's willing to put on old people makeup just to take a picture.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Mandy and I are dating, and I rope her into doing the show, which she was happy to do because she loved Donald. She loved everybody. She loved the show. She loved Bill. And they're in true Scrubs fashion, like, great. We have a new scene. You guys are going to be in 8 hours of makeup. And, yeah. And I remember her being such a good sport about that. The funny thing is, I was looking at that. I really look like, and you know my dad before he passed, Donald, I looked a lot like my dad, didn't I?
You did look like your dad.
Great job. I've done, you know, those apps where they show you what you look like when you're old, and it looks a lot like this makeup job. Like this team did a great job.
Only thing is it looks a little heavy, let's say. The skin all looks heavy on you two. But Mandy went on to do that for a living with This Is Us.
Oh yeah, I know.
And it's kind of the same. And it's kind of the same plot. You say, you know, I wanted to take a picture of us when we were old, just in case one of us dies in some horrible accident or some shit like that. And the dude dies in a fire, and we're watching.
Well, dude, isn't that a spoiler, bro? I don't watch This Is Us, but didn't you just fucking say a spoiler for people that are just starting This Is Us tonight?
I'm sorry, but he dies somehow.
And it could be that Mandy and I had to go get full face casts to do this. Now, what they do, I don't know if they do it this way anymore because it seems really fucking dangerous. They cover you with this, what is it? It's like a drying
silicone mold.
It's a drying mold, right? And it's a limited time. There's like three guys working on you at one time because it starts setting. It's kind of like that shit they put in the tray in the dentist's office to take impressions,
but
around your whole fucking head. Yeah. And what they do is
they put plaster, right?
Know what it is. I'm sorry. I forgot what it is. They put straws in your nostrils, right?
So you could breathe.
And then they cover your whole face except for your nostrils. And you have to just chill and like keep calm while it sets. If you're claustrophobic, it's your fucking
nightmare. You're dead. You're dead if you're claustrophobic.
Yeah. You could not have it.
Yeah. The best thing to do is to fall asleep.
No, I think they said they recommended like taking like an anti-anxiety something like Xanax or Valium or something. I don't even know if we did that, but I remember there being like, you might, some people do take the edge off with a little anti-anxiety medicine.
Marijuana.
No, that would be the opposite for me. That would make me like more panicky.
You'd just be paranoid.
Did you look what it says, Daniel? What they use?
Yeah, there's like a bunch of different language. So there's silicone putty. There's also just, they call it putty a lot. Cavex, color change, alginate.
Yeah, but anyway, if you the closest thing related to is that fucking colored shit they put in the tray at the dentist's office and take impressions of your teeth.
Smells and tastes so good.
Yeah, now imagine it all over your face and the only way you can breathe is through two straws in your nostrils.
I would pray for no boogers.
The good news is that once an effects house has done it to you, they keep your head on file.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that when I went to go use the same effects house for Wish I Was Here stuff.
They don't digitally do it now?
That's a very good question. I think if it's prosthetics, they still take an impression. I remember asking the woman, I was recently visiting Legacy Effects, and she said they don't do the nostril straw thing anymore. She said that's really dangerous because if something happens and
a booger, let's just say a booger.
Yeah, I think she implied that they just don't cover the bottom of the nose at all, but they don't like stick straws up there. So I'm trying to compete with Elliot. I'm trying to rub it in her face that I've got a hot chick, and I go, "What's waiting for me in my room is what's known in football terms." As a slam dunk, and then I do the tennis gesture.
Tennis gesture, yeah. What the fuck did he say? Oh, he says it. You remind me of my mom. That's right.
No, you smell like my mom.
Yeah, you smell like my mom.
Which is some weird shit.
He walked right in.
A woman doesn't want to hear that.
He jumped in the bed and was like, "Ooh, you smell like my mom."
I wasn't even in there 2 seconds. Like, what did I say? I walked in and went, "You smell like my mom."
Yeah, and she left.
She didn't like that. But then later I smell her and I go, "Mummy.
Mummy. But that's you so and you, but you also flip it on her. You flip it and you're like, I didn't say you smelled like my mom. I said you smelled like me mom.
Me mom.
No, my mom. My mom.
My mom.
My mom.
Which is what, a flower or something?
Yeah, which is a flower that grows in some region somewhere.
What about when I say I haven't hit it in a little while, but there's good reason. And Cox goes, yeah, his face and his personality. Sticks and stones will break my bones, Perry. But, and then I go, but words will hurt forever.
So wait, hold on a second. JD killed a pony?
JD apparently killed a pony while doing a prank to Elliot. The prank was pretending that the car was rolling down a hill and it had no brakes.
Right.
And Elliot says, I really didn't like it. And also we learn later in the episode that not only did JD kill a pony, but it was a hit and run.
Yeah. Stop. It's not. Oh, God.
That really feels out of character for JD to hit and run a pony.
Yeah.
And a family's pony, which means the only reason they would have that knowledge is if the family was standing there.
Right, with the pony. Like, you killed the pony in front of a little girl.
And then screeched off?
And then...
That really feels out of character for JD, but Elliot certainly remembers it and doesn't like it.
Yeah.
So Elliot's trying to give JD dating advice because he's horrible. He always says the wrong thing.
But what I don't understand is, how did it go from you dating Julie to Elliot dating Julie, and then you saying to Elliot, stay away from my girlfriend and stay away from my JD wigs?
Right. Well, because the fantasy has, there's multiple misdirects in this with the fantasies. The first one is when we go to us as old people and you think this is them old. And then we pull the makeup off to reveal that we've hired the top effects firm in Los Angeles.
Yes.
To create old age makeup for us.
Yes.
And apply 7 hours worth of prosthetics just so we could take a picture in case one of us dies.
Horribly.
We'll have this memory of us being old together.
One of you will have this memory of you guys being old.
Now, the second time that happens is we go to a fantasy and you think it's me
making out
with Elliot, with Julie, but then you reveal that it's Elliot and you think that it's Elliot as JD.
Right.
But then we break it down again and she says, "Oh, and thanks for calling me JD."
Right. So it's really Elliot dressed up as JD just so that she could date Julie.
Yes.
And then JD puts it all together and tells Elliot to stay away from his girlfriend. But also to stay away from his JD wig. It must be for the first prosthetic that he had when they were doing the old people.
Why does JD have JD wigs?
For the old man JD. For old man JD.
No, because old man JD had old man hair.
Right, but that's one of his JD wigs.
I don't know.
I don't know, dude.
Because in the makeup room, in the hair and makeup room, there were so many JD wigs for different stunt people and for different purposes. There literally were like multiple JD wigs. Stay away from my girlfriend, Elliot, and stay away from my JD wigs.
Yo, season 5 is crazy, man.
Season 5 is great, though. I love it.
Yeah, it's so good, though.
You never
man.
Know what you're going to get. It's just a bag of batshit.
Yeah, it's nuts. Literally
Elliot tells me that I shouldn't have. We flashback to us making out, and she, as an example, I go, "Are you getting thicker?"
Right.
That's not something you want to say.
You just feel thicker.
How do you tell your woman? You know, sometimes a man might truly be saying, especially you, Donald, who has always appreciated the thicker female form, might be saying like, baby, you're so thick and juicy." You can't say.
I'll never say that to my wife.
Really?
No, she works out way too much.
What if you
want
to appreciate, like, these curves, girl?
Yeah, my wife works out way too much for me to say some dumb shit like that. Get killed.
How could you say it in a way that she might appreciate?
Damn, I love the way your body feels against mine. Something like that, you know.
Hold on, I'm writing this down.
Wow. Body nailed that. Mine. Holy shit.
It's like what Elliot says to JD in this episode. She says, just say, I'm so lucky I found you.
Yeah, I'm happy I found. I'm glad I found
you. I'm glad I found you.
Yeah.
Which is magical. It has like a magic effect on Julie.
Because everybody wants to feel that way. Everybody wants to feel appreciated. Everybody wants to feel loved.
One more thing about the audition that's so funny is when Sam, who says it? Is Sam? He's going to be trouble about you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but he's just so damn talented.
Talented.
Yeah.
He becomes like Captain Kirk. He's just so damn talented. He's going to be trouble.
You did turn out
to be trouble.
I turned out to be trouble because I disrespected Dr. Kelso.
Yeah, you really went all in on Kelso. You, for some reason, had a burst of having no fear of him at all.
Yeah, out of nowhere. So, Cox in this episode has a hard time showing affection to his son.
Now, is this a thing? I mean, it must be, right? Because there's plenty of men out there who said their dads barely hugged them, their dads never kissed them. But you, for example, are very
not my dad. My dad hugged me and kissed me.
Yeah, my dad too.
That's weird,
right? My dad would go for the lips sometimes, which I didn't really love as an adult man.
I didn't appreciate it, yeah.
But I loved his cheek kisses and his forehead kisses. I wasn't always down for a lip peck. My mom too goes for the lip peck sometimes.
I'm all right with kissing my mom every now and then on the lips.
I think it's like, I made you. Give me those lips.
Right. That's how I treat my kids.
Right, but also your kids are little.
I made you.
But anyway, if Donald and I can give you a public service announcement, if you're a father, kiss your friggin' kid and hug your friggin' kid. Don't be like Cox. Give them hugs. Give them love. Give them affection. Don't bring this stupid masculinity bullshit into it. Right, Donald? Preach.
Real talk. The last thing you want your kid to ever say is, your hits are like hugs to me, Dad. It's the last thing you ever want to hear your kid say.
Well, my father was a big hugger.
So was mine. So is mine.
Yes. You're lucky that you still get to receive those hugs. So hug your parents. For the love of God, Cox's character triggered me. We should go to break, right?
Yeah, let's go to break.
We'll be right back with more of Scrubs, including the introduction of Hide the Saltine. Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach
and Donald. And we are back. Hide the Saltine.
Zach, I love you.
Sorry. Thank you, Casey. Go ahead, Donald.
I hate you, rabbit.
I want you to know that I was upstate New York this weekend with some friends, including my friend Preston that you know and love. And I played for him the Casey song, and they thought it was Fuego.
Really? They liked it?
And we sang it a lot up there. It became like, you know, one of the jams of the weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know nothing about raising these fools, so tell me what to do. Nothing about raising these kids.
I like how you go, nothing about raising these kids.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And that's what it is. Hide the Saltine. I did not know. Find the Saltine. And I did not know it was three players. I always thought it was only two players.
Well, I thought it was just a you and I thought it was just a JD and Turk thing. Now, it's obviously a game that the janitor knows about.
Right.
Because you go, you play?
And then
so funny.
And then he pulls a Saltine out from behind his ear.
Right. Should we do an Ask Bill here and ask where the fuck Find the Saltine came from?
Yes, I like that.
Bill, this is a very wacky episode. It's got air banding. It's got Find the Saltine. Where the heck did Find the Saltine come from? Can you please tell us? Tell the audience. Tell our fans. Tell our listeners. What is the genesis of Find the Saltine?
Hey, guys. I miss you. I don't know if that's because I'm busy or because you guys haven't asked me as much to be on my podcast, but even if my feelings are hurt, I'm going to try and answer this question just like in a positive best friend type of way. Where did the game Find the Saltine come from? On a lot of TV shows, what you do is you have writers that write the TV shows, and then they hang out in a room, and then they come up with things that they might think are funny, and then they put them in these things that we distribute to you guys called scripts. All right. I don't know where it came from, guys. I think we just made it up. That sounds a little cranky. I just miss you. Donald, your kids look beautiful. Zach, you look handsome. And the one thing I can say, thinking about this question, is you got graveled That at least was real because we used to put pebbles in each other's shoes in the writer's room. And I think Find the Saltine came from getting graveled. And I hope to see you guys soon and gravel one, if not both of you, but not Joel, but definitely Daniel. See you guys.
Thanks, Bill.
So JD gives
Julie Elliot Bone City.
Right. Well, you do that, but you also, you know, Elliot warned you don't take things too fast.
Right.
And you do something that I don't even think you'd ever did to Turk, with Turk. You gave Julie the key to your wizard hat chest.
First of all, it's a really funny mislead. It's like, you think I gave her the key to the apartment. It's like, no, no,
she's
no.
She's even trying to open the door to the apartment. Yeah, and you're like, no.
Like,
no, no.
But I'm
no,
like,
no.
It's better.
Right, right. And then...
I feel like this is the kind of thing that you, Joelle, and Daniel would actually appreciate, like a key to a secret wizard hat box.
Hell yeah.
Does she have her own, or do you give her one?
I think that's a very good question. Now, is this JD's wizard hat collection, and I'm letting her use mine?
One, right.
Or did I specifically buy her own wizard hat?
Because then within less than 3 seconds, you guys have already taken the picture.
No, it's not a picture. It's a portrait that's been
commissioned. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where is all this disposable income coming from?
With
I'm spending a fortune on this girl.
Is there a unicorn in the pic in the?
Yeah, we are on a unicorn. Yeah. I don't know for the unicorn. I don't know if the unicorn posed for the portrait or not. Do you think that the artist had creative license and added the unicorn, or do you think we hired a horse?
You hired her. You hired him to do. You guys are like, what would be, he was like, well, what would you guys like to be doing? Because I could do the picture.
Sitting
on unicorn.
I
could paint the picture of just like, you guys, is that what you want?
Of course we're sitting on a unicorn. How much extra is it for us to be sitting on a unicorn?
I mean, well, I have other fictitious animals that we could use here.
No. Well, Pegasus? Yeah, Pegasus. I don't know if it has wings or not. I don't remember, but it is a unicorn.
It is definitely a unicorn, and you guys are definitely serious, too.
Now, that was a painting that was around forever. I didn't know what to do with it.
Did you keep it?
Well, eventually, Mandy and I weren't dating any longer, and I remember
right, so
thinking,
what do you
like,
do with that
what
picture
do you do,
when that
what do you do with a giant portrait of you and your ex-girlfriend in wizard hats riding a Pegasus?
Right.
What do you do with that masterpiece of art?
I don't know.
I don't know. I was never in my house. I just remember it was in someone's office at Scrubs.
Someone somewhere is like, I got a picture. I got a painting. It's this weird painting of Zach Braff.
I know,
and
someone, there's no way there's no way that picture got destroyed. Somewhere.
Writing what could be either a Pegasus and or a unicorn.
If you are a member of the Scrubs crew and you listen and you have any idea where that portrait is, please let us know. We would. Like
I wonder
to
where
you,
it is.
We would like to ask you where it is displayed.
I would love to walk into somebody's house.
Mandy just had a baby. I'd like to send it to Mandy as a congratulations on your baby present.
Wow, Mandy's a mom. Wow.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe it. Congratulations to
Mandy.
I doubt Mandy listens to the podcast, but if she does.
But if you do, congratulations to you and your new baby. Turk goes to apologize to Kelso, and Kelso says he doesn't give a rat's ass about the apology because he has so many things going on with his life anyway. One of them being his son has a play off Broadway.
Yeah.
Called Dr. Dad. It's not off Broadway. It's held
it's in
over
Buffalo.
In Buffalo. Yeah,
it's
it got held over in Buffalo.
What does that mean? He got held over in Buffalo. That means they're gonna, it's going to keep
gonna
running.
It's going to keep
Oh my God! Someone one day should just compile all of the stories about Kelso's gay son.
Yeah, he's a successful playwright too. Dr.
Well,
Dad.
Listen, Dr. Dad is being held over in Buffalo. That means they sold some tickets to that. It's a musical, right?
Yeah, it is a musical. It is a musical.
Dr. Dad.
I laughed so much at this episode.
Season
like, it's
five
of,
is funny as shit.
It's crazy, dude. Just crazy, crazy.
I really didn't remember that season five was noticeably more wacky and sillier and funnier.
This is outrageously crazy.
All right, so Julie, we We got our wizard hats and we got a portrait and we're on matching scooters and we pass a sign that says land for sale.
Pretty much it's an acre. It's a half acre.
It's a half acre. This episode is called My Half Acre, I believe. Right, Dan?
Yes.
We also learn a little side note that the janitor stores or has been caught storing deer meat in Kelso's office mini fridge.
Yeah, yeah. Where's he getting the deer meat?
Well, he's clearly a hunter.
He's a hunter. Yeah, he's a hunter.
Because he did have a squirrel army. But why? This feels like if you're the janitor of a giant hospital, the head janitor of an enormous hospital, why would you choose the head of the hospital's mini fridge to store your deer meat? There's got clearly Troy has some place in the walk-in. Crazy Eyes Margo could probably find a spot for you
find
in the walk-in.
Right in the fridge, right?
Right.
I don't know.
I love little things like that that come out in Scrubs one-liners that, like we're talking about the pony, like they're just meant to be like one-line punchlines. We're like, wait, let's just dissect this.
Right, let's go back.
This was a hit and run, and it was on a date with Elliot, and we know that it was a family's pony. So if you put that math together, the family was standing when they were with the pony when JD tried to impress Elliot during a date and pretended his brakes were out. The prank went awry. The pony was killed, and we sped off.
And then JD sped off. Before asking if anybody was okay.
The janitor is a deer hunter. Or actually, it's knowing the janitor, it's probably even funnier if he has nothing to do with killing the deer. He just needed a place to store his venison.
Yes. I noticed there was a lot of improv in this episode. I take it back. There was a lot of in this episode.
You know every what? Time it's such somebody a cheap fell. One. The cold open, they didn't know how to get out of it. Like you could tell. So they just had like, what if I jump from here to there and hurt myself? No, I go eagle. Yeah, there's a lot of pratfalls in this episode. When all else fails, just have JD fall on his face.
Well, Mandy falls on her face.
Mandy had a very nice fall, by the way. I remember on the day that one in the restaurant, she was so game for her. The stunt woman did the biggest part of the tumble, but I remember, you know, she still had to do a sort of big drop back without a mat. And that, you know, it was a bit of a this is going to hurt, but it'll be funny. And she was game. She went for it.
There it is.
And I remember we were dating, and I was like, yeah, girl, you take that stunt fall, darling. You're good at this. I was proud.
So Turk also, Turk finally gets up the nerve. He, you know, the janitor expresses to him, yo, the reason why he's upset isn't because you said no to the procedure. To speaking for him. He's upset because you disrespected him. And so Turk apologizes for disrespecting Kelso.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned that the cool cats don't just rock together.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't just, they roll together.
Yeah.
And then they chant cool cats.
What's the cool cats? That's your like, cool cats. You have like a band shake where you just tap your chest and go cool cats.
Cool cats, but it's got to be low. It's got to be real low. It's always real low. It's always like cool cats.
Does that come back? I mean? Do you remember if that comes back?
I don't know if it ever comes back again. But I laughed very hard at, oh, shit.
I laughed very hard when the janitor says, when he pulled out his saltine, when you're like, do you play?
Dude, I laughed very hard when Ted breaks his imaginary bass.
Why does Ted break his, oh, yeah.
Because Kelso tells him to get back in his cage, and he takes off his bass and throws it on the ground, and he goes, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
Was that Ted or, yeah, it was Ted. That's Ted. What about when Mike Schwartz says, Lloyd, you see him put the pantomime drumsticks in his back pocket.
His back pocket, yeah.
That's real commitment.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we pull up to a half acre, and we're moving so fast, even though Elliot appears in the realtor sign and says, what are you doing? You always do this. You always go so fast. You're going to buy land with this woman? And I say, the only thing I've got in my portfolio is some Eastern Airlines stock and an unopened pack of Les Mis trading cards.
did they make Les Mis trading
cards? I'm sure they do. Daniel, can you check if Les Mis trading cards are a thing?
Would Preston know?
Preston would definitely know, but Daniel's going to look it up. I had Three's Company trading cards. How could there not be Les Mis trading cards?
Wait, you had Three's Company trading cards. Who would? There's only four, five characters on the whole damn show.
No, it was like, you remember how trading cards used to be like, you know, these, when we were growing up, there were trading cards for everything. It would be like, you know, so it was like that funny moment where Jack fell over the couch, and then it would be like Chrissy like this, and it would just be like a moment from the scene.
Got it.
Yeah, go ahead, Daniel.
Not a ton of trading cards. Lots of like fan-made kind of stuff, but unfortunately no official Les Mis trading cards.
Hey, let's get into this, Donald.
Yeah, right?
Tops, make it happen.
Tops, listen. Tops, I know that we don't have any rights to the income from this, but you have two packs sold if you make Les Mis trading cards. I would also like Les Mis Funko Pops. All right. I think we did most of it, right?
Do we have a guest?
Guest just arrived.
All right, good. I'm going to WYSIWYNKLE, and we'll be right back with a very exciting guest.
And we're back!
We're back, we're back, we're back, we're back, 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 back. Daniel, you know this. What is that? Rush.
That sounds like, oh, I was
going to say Rush. I was going to say Rush.
You weren't going to say Rush.
Rush.
That's such a great Rush,
Donald.
I did say Rush.
Belle Biv DeVoe.
I'm not going to lie. I was going to say Metallica and be wrong. Just got to be honest.
I'm surprised that you got Rush even from that. All right, bring them in. Bring me our guests.
We got a caller who gave us a holler. We can talk Star Wars or sing show tunes, you know, like a baller. Smoke some jazz cabbage. Maybe talk about the episode. So come on, Joel, let's get the show on.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Sean Mann!
I can't believe this is happening.
Oh, this is happening, Sean. You are on the show. And tell us who's with you.
All right, this is my boss. His name is Kenny.
Hi, Kenny.
Yeah, we're on the same team.
Nice. You guys are in white. I'm telling the audience, they're in white lab coats.
They're wearing masks, surgical masks.
I assume you can't take off your mask because you're at work, and that's the rule. Okay.
That's right.
And that's all we know. There's a sign behind them that says no eating or drinking inside. Okay. There appears to be fluorescent lighting. And just a little bit of a hint of a cloud picture deep in the background on a maroon wall. All right. What's up, guys? Where are we? What's happening?
Yeah, so we're in a conference room at the Innovation Center of Beyond Meats. And
Beyond Meat.
Beyond Meat. To get on because there was an episode, I think in season two, where Zach said like, oh yeah, I eat Beyond Meat and it's pretty good. And we're like, oh.
Yeah, we heard a couple of shout outs. So we're like, oh man, maybe that's our way in. So we're like,
this is your way in because I'm glad that Joelle, who can't be here right now, I'm glad she organized this because Donald and I are both having varying degrees of success getting off land animals.
Yes.
I am 100, not 100, I'll say 98% there. I occasionally have a dabble. Donald's back down to pretty much eating everything. Good work, Donald.
I'm closer to around, you know, 25%.
But when you did reduce. We'll give you points for reduction.
Yes,
for sure.
But I will have to say, and I don't think Beyond Meat's even a sponsor, but I will say they should be. Tell your friends in marketing. But I will say my personal biggest thing when it came up to like giving up meat was, oh, but I love cheeseburgers. That's like my favorite thing.
Yeah.
And I have to say, you scientists over there have figured something out. It tastes darn good. What's the secret?
How do you turn pea into red
pea?
Meat?
What do you mean pea?
Like pea.
He's
like
talking about yellow pea. That's the protein that we're using.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about that. What's the secret? I mean, you have to give us the secret ingredient. You'll probably be fired.
No, yeah. We'll share what we can share here. But yeah, I mean, deep down, you know, what we're doing here at the Innovation Center is we all come from various different scientific backgrounds. We're trying to take the knowledge that we know from all of these different areas and really understand what's going on with the animal meat and what's going on with our product. So if we can really take that science and understand, you know, how do we put this fat, this protein, these minerals, this water, and kind of construct it in a clean label way so that we can kind of get a more realistic and more representative and a plant-based product. That's the work that we're working on here. And so ultimately, we're using a lot of clean label ingredients. We're trying to make sure that we can get those things processed with the minimal amount of processing. So that's just heat, pressure, temperature, time, and kind of controlling how we can mix all of those things together. Really, we're using the same equipment that you find in a, you know, kitchen, but scaled up, or, you know, in any type of bread or pasta making processing factory, and twisting how we kind of think about it. So thinking a little outside of the box, how those types of processes are usually done to try and get something that's realistic. And
so what is it? It's pea, so wait, it's hold on,
Before we go forward, so I could make Beyond Meat in my kitchen.
I mean, I think if you look on YouTube, there's a lot of people who try and make what we make in their kitchen, and, you know, different levels of success, I would say. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we do have some proprietary parts that we really crack down here that really make our texture, our mouthfeel, our juice.
It'd be funny if that was me.
Don't give it away, Zach.
I think we'd have to put that on the ingredient list.
There's a few proprietary things like cow meat that we...
No. All clean.
Now, I have a question. I honestly think it tastes amazing.
I do too.
How does the price point compare? Because obviously that's on people's minds. They go, well, I'm not going to pay more for it.
For sure. No, and that's one thing that we're working on, you know, for the last couple of years. So it is a little bit more of a premium product right now as it stands compared to the animal meat.
Right.
But there is, you know, a lot of things that we have to take into consideration there. The subsidies that the animal meat industry gets from the government, from taxes, our scale as we increase. You know, when I started here 6 years ago, we were working on the original burger, and we were making that in a little kitchen here in LA, you know, kind of a handmade kitchen where we were doing hundreds of burgers a day. And that kind of scale compared to where we're at now, tens of thousands of you know, patties per day or whatever we're making.
They're everywhere.
And
they're
also have sausages. Donald and I got, I think you guys are probably responsible because someone sent us the mother load care package.
Well, we got to get you some more because we'll hook you guys up.
With that. But then Donald, there was breakfast sausage. There was, there's our Joelle.
There were a bunch of
Joelle, it's been a very masculine show without you. We really, really need it.
Oh, I'm so happy to bring my feminine energy to the podcast.
We need it. We need it. Well, we're learning. These gents are telling us all about Beyond Meat. Donald, you had a question. Go ahead.
It's really delicious. And there are some people, like, you order it from restaurants and they've really mastered the way in cooking it. Whereas, like, if I cook it, it's not as juicy. What I mean? Like, it's a little bit, but it's still delicious. Like, I like a burger well done, so I don't mind a burger that's not that, you know, that juicy. But then you get it from a restaurant and they figured out a way to make it so it's literally like you're biting into a hamburger. What is the difference? Are you guys giving people like a different way to cook it? Like, how do you cook it to make it so it's just like a hamburger?
No, I think it kind of boils down to like in the burger, like we do have some work to get it perfectly there. You know, you guys have seen it or tasted it. There's still work for us to do here to make it where we want it to be, like an animal product and replicate what the animal beef is. But like when you're cooking a burger at home, if you cook that on the griddle some way, you know, the chef at the restaurant is going to probably do that a little bit better. And
they always do. I don't understand.
Yeah, but I love that he said that in the nicest way possible. What if he was just like, because he's a professional fucking chef.
Right.
No, actually, we're both scientists. Yeah. But yeah.
No, I have other questions. All right. Now listen, Impossible Burger, they're the competitor, right? Mm-hmm. They're, and now who's winning in the space? You guys are them.
Oh,
and...
come on. Is that even a question?
No, I don't need.
I've got some more. It's a great question, though, Zach. I think it's.
I mean, I know you guys are scientists and you're not in the fucking sales department, but I wonder if know who's got the biggest market.
We're giving you the scientific point of view. And really, you know, this is our point of view. We're not representing anybody right now. It's just we're fans of you guys, fans of the show, and we want to be on here. But we can talk about this stuff.
I'm just saying, do you guys as scientists take apart the Impossible Burger? Much like I'm sure the scientists at Three Musketeers might take apart the Snickers and see what is in it and how they make their nougat.
Dude. Oh, yeah. I think everybody in the whole plant-based industry is probably taking apart everybody else's product for sure. But, you know, I think the thing Impossible is doing some great stuff, and they have, you know, they're pushing for the same real change that we're trying to push for, you know, sustainability, impacting the climate change, health, animal welfare. All of those things are at the core of what they're trying to do this for. The change, maybe the biggest difference we have probably in the approach of doing that is that
no GMOs. Baby.
No GMOs. Yeah.
Go for it. That's right.
Genetically modified. We think that, you know, you can get everything you need from the plant. And so getting extracts from plants directly, doing our, you know, science to understand how to utilize them the best way, and then putting them together into the product. We think we can get there with that. And, yeah. You know, they go with a little bit of different solution there in that term.
How far away are we from seeing seafood then?
Yes, because we need seafood. Since you guys are killing it, we watched Seaspiracy and got all upset.
Still not eating fish. I still haven't eaten
I watched
fish.
That documentary because of you guys, actually, and it scared the bejesus out of me.
Well, great. Right? I have occasionally cheated with sushi. I must say, I occasionally give myself a sushi cheat. Donald, shut up. You went totally gave up.
You are a
I'm like almost traitor. All the way there. And if I go over to someone's house and they've made a beautiful dinner and the only thing they're serving is fish, I'll eat the fish. But for the most part, I'm not. But anyway, that's irrelevant. Nobody give a fuck about that. When are you at Beyond going to make fish and chicken? We need that too.
Chicken, because chicken is weird. I'm going to tell you something right now. I've yet to taste good plant-based chicken. That shit is mush everywhere.
Right. Well, let the
it
men
is nothing
talk,
but
Donald.
Mush.
Okay, Donald, sorry, let sorry. The men speak. Go ahead, guys.
No,
how
I don't
do you
mean
solve Donald's how do you solve Donald's mush complaint?
No, it's a great complaint. I think in the terms of the chicken part, we have some, I mean, the news, we're not breaking it here because it's on our website and other people, but we just released some
pretend it's
tenders.
Exclusive. Can you guys please pretend it's exclusive?
Go ahead. Oh, yeah. Hey, guys, we got the lowdown for you. Yeah. Just for you guys. Chicken's out, Beyond Meat. Get it right where you want it.
Chicken tenders.
Chicken tenders. And also, we partnered up with Pan Express. We just released today Beyond the Orange Chicken. So it's orange chicken from Pan Express, but it's all plant-based alternative meats. And yeah, it just got released today. So it's all over SoCal right now, actually. There are a bunch of locations in LA.
I want some of that right now. I want some of that
right
now.
You got to get it. Perfect. You got
to
get it.
Can you guys postmates it to our house? Now, what about fish?
Okay, no, but we got. Let's
Donald
just make it.
I'm
just one
to the
last
guests.
Thing. We just want to make it clear. This isn't an ad, y'all. This isn't an ad. We're not doing an ad. This is just actually something that.
Yeah.
Came
by the way,
up.
They should become an advertiser, Joelle. After this, like,
I'm pushing,
ad
man.
For
we're
them.
Pushing.
Joelle's going to make a call because they should be. Cause no, but this is in all seriousness, Donald and I, as you know, all both trying to eat less animals, and I really stand by Beyond. I think it's great. Fish, is that in the program? Is there someone behind you guys that's desk says fish guy?
We can't really talk too much about things that haven't been announced, but
oh, that means yes.
We can just let you know we got lots of prototypes that we're constantly working on here.
Well, tell your boss to watch Seaspiracy and get to fucking work.
we're very excited. Like, you know, as an African-American male, high cholesterol is a big thing in my family. And when you eat red meat and when you eat, even when you eat chicken and stuff like that, it's not necessarily the best for your cholesterol intake. And I'm not the type of person that just wants to eat beans for the rest of my life. So, the Beyond Burger or a sausage or, you know, it is great. So the more products you guys put out, the easier it is to get off meat.
Yep.
I am. It needs to happen faster, though, is my point.
They're working. Well, they'd probably be doing it faster if they weren't fucking appearing on podcasts all the time. Listen.
No.
Right now, I'm just kidding. Guys, I have a question. I heard in the news that some Texas agricultural board got angry because plant-based meat is selling so well that they want the labeling
to no longer be called meat.
They want meat, the word meat taken off the label they're so fucking livid that plant-based meat is taking off. Is that true?
Yeah, no, there's been a couple of those, filings in the last couple of years, but I think that just shows, you know, how much of an impact companies like Beyond Meat are having. And we hope to, like you guys say, do more and get out more options for the consumers so that they can replace any of the animal meat that they need with our products and plant-based
I think you're doing a great job. And
thank you so much. Yeah. And do you guys have questions for us?
Or do you need to fix your life? We can do anything.
Do you need to fix your life?
Oh, yeah. I'm a little behind on the podcast, so I don't know if.
All right, well, don't worry about a question, then. We'll just fix your life. It's time for Beyond Meat's favorite segment, Donald. It's time to
fix your life!
All right, so I think we kind of already touched on it already.
Someone just stretched behind you. Yes, go ahead.
You know, here at Beyond Meat, we're trying to, you know, come up with new products and innovate just continuously and constantly. So, you know, based on the things that you've had, is there any feedback that we could solicit from you guys? Are there things you want us to improve on? Or are there any products you might be interested in looking at? I guess we've already touched on that.
I didn't see like old. Do you guys have like an old, like traditional, like Nathan's hot dog? I saw lots of sausages. Mm. I'd like just a real old fashioned barbecue hot dog. You got that?
That'd be great.
Yeah, for now, we just have the sausages. But
yeah, you're
right.
Well, there's my friggin' complaint, boys. We got to get a regular hot dog. Sometimes you don't want like a flavored kielbasa. Unless you're dating Donald. No, listen.
All I could think about is kielbasa sausage. Your butt cheeks is warm.
What?
Damn.
It's a Tenacious D song. Oh, it's a Tenacious D song. I was so confused.
Yeah, no, I was just wondering. I mean, you guys are both great singers, and you guys are always singing on here. Part of what we were doing, I think, during COVID times is listening to this podcast to kind of like laugh and unwind. But a big part of what we also did around here to kind of unwind is go karaoke and do all that kind of stuff.
Yes!
I'm wondering, what are you guys' karaoke go-tos? Or is there anything that pops
up?
That's
a great question.
I got a couple of them now. Used to only be one. It used to be Poison. I used to go and do Poison.
Oh, my God. We just watched the episode, bro.
Yeah, so did we.
Killed it. You
so
did
we.
It.
Thank you very much. But so I would always do that at karaoke. But I got a couple of new ones. Dan and Shay. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. I'm speechless, standing at you, staring in that band, whatever the fuck song goes. Watching you is all that I can do. I'm speechless. You already know that you're my weakness. After all this time, I'm just as nervous. Watching you is all that I can do. Anyway, that's a great karaoke one.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
I heard one person sing a karaoke song, and you don't hear it often. But Faith, it's just Faith. And I can't believe it's real.
Mm.
Yes.
I can't believe it's true.
Go ahead, girl.
I can't believe it's happening. I can't believe with you, something like that. And I can't believe that you are here with me. And I am here with you, softly kissing you.
All right.
Forever kissing you.
I don't think they said perform all of your favorites.
That's exactly what we were trying to fish for.
Yeah, that's what we're fishing
for. Daniel, Joelle, do you have your go-to karaoke songs that you like?
Okay, Amy Winehouse's Valerie, which is the atypical Los Angeles girl anthem. If you go to karaoke out here, you'll hear it four times a night. But it's good. It hits. It's in everybody's vocal range.
Yeah.
And I love that. I could karaoke any Beyonce song. Obviously not as good as Beyonce, but I know all the lyrics and I'm ready to go. If I'm
well, you know the one.
Hyper confident.
You know the one that everybody does.
Is it Countdown?
Oh, no, no.
That's a terrible one.
No!
That's a great song, but not great to karaoke.
My baby. Okay, Daniel.
It's hard to sing, though.
Yeah, it is.
Joelle's got the range. Joelle's an incredible singer.
But all you
got
to do is go, Young Hove, y'all know how the flow is loco. Young D and the OOC. Uh-oh! And then you got the crowd.
I got three. One is The Sound by Carly Rae Jepsen. You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette.
Yes.
And then When I Was Your Man by Bruno Mars. Those are my three.
Wow.
I don't really do karaoke, but I think I would probably do Everywhere by Michelle Branch.
Oh, of course. I blast that myself in my car all the time.
You would.
Complicated Avril Lavigne.
Great.
That's another got the crowd pleaser.
You know what you should do by Avril Lavigne? What, take me by the hand, take me somewhere new. Yeah. I don't know who you are. Do you remember? Yeah. Do you remember us singing that shit forever? That song. We used to sing that song.
We're so comfort in our sexuality that we'd be running around our apartment singing Avril Lavigne in our boxers.
We sang that song on set too, and we changed the lyrics too. Do you remember changing the lyrics?
I'm with you.
No, take me by the hand, take me somewhere new. I don't know who you are, but I'm gonna shoot.
Oh,
no! All of my goo.
Oh. Oh, no!
Not in front of the Beyond Meat guys.
All on you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm sorry, Beyond Meat
guys. That wasn't the turn I was expecting.
I'm sorry. Now they can't play this at the Beyond Meat party.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah. Well, I would sing the original Avril Lavigne version without Donald's orgasm.
I'm gonna.
Okay.
Zach, I love you.
Okay, calm down. Yes.
Oh boy.
All right. I think we've ran this into the ground. With it's always nice to end a show with one of Donald's fake orgasms. Okay. Thank you. Poor Beyond Meat.
It just sounds like it doesn't even sound like an orgasm anymore. It just sounds like somebody just yelling in pain.
It sounds like you're being killed.
Oh boy.
Okay, it's one thing if they were the impossible guys, but this is Beyond Meat guys. All right, guys. Well, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it.
We did it. You want to just end the show with?
Yes,
with
you can stay on to the end of the show. This is the end of the show. We love you all.
Can I have a quick shout out, Zach?
Absolutely.
Yes, go ahead.
I want to give a quick shout out to my fiance Liz. She wanted to thank all you guys because we both grew up with Scrubs, and that's sort of why she's in the healthcare industry right now. Cool. She couldn't be here right now, but she wanted to say thank you very much.
Thank you.
And yeah, we just got engaged last week.
Congratulations.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, we've been together for like 13 years, high school sweethearts, and
took you a long time, huh? You finally decided to do it, huh?
Well, yeah, high school sweethearts. You know. That's great.
They've been together for 13 years, he said, bro.
I know, but I mean, how old are you?
I'm 27.
He's 27. Oh, they were high school sweethearts. There's no rush.
That's not high. You guys were like junior high school sweethearts.
Well, we met in junior high. Yeah.
But...
Yeah. Wow.
That's adorable. Yeah.
He's so sweet.
And you that both lasts. Good, and both and you live good. In California, too. Wow.
And you got good jobs. It's almost time to buy a half acre. See how I brought it all back to the show, Donald. That's why they pay me the big bucks. I rounded it all back.
Well done.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. We love you. We appreciate you. Be kind. If you're open to it, try not eating animals. These fellas are doing all they can to make fake burgers taste like real animals. So check out Beyond Meat. Again, not a sponsor. Donald and I just support the cause. And that's it.
Shout out to Joel for getting these guys on here today, too.
Shout out to Joel.
You guys are writing in.
Thank you so much, Joel.
Good work. Good work, Joel. So, are you excited about the live show?
Dude, I'm so excited about the live show. I can't believe that John C. McGinley has agreed to get on this bad boy with us.
John C. McGinley live is dangerous. I'm a little concerned about John C. McGinley live. He needs to be censored sometimes.
Yeah, he sometimes leaves the PC card at home.
Daniel, I may need you to just go beep if he says anything crazy.
I'll do my best.
I hope there's a delay. I truly hope there's a delay.
Well, we don't have a delay. Joel, there's no delay for the live show, right?
It's live as hell.
Not really, no.
Okay, so
dude, are we going to have a special guest?
There is a very special guest that's going to surprise everyone and blow people's minds away. And it'll be fun. If you didn't join us last time, please join us. It's September 9th. That's coming up. Joel.
I would love for them to poll who they think the special surprise guest is going to be.
You guys, it's a week from Thursday, September 9th. Please come join us. We sometimes edit the show because Donald or I usually Donald or I will say something we regret. But now, like Bill O'Reilly once said, we're going to do it live. And you'll see our faces.
Who said that?
Bill O'Reilly. Isn't he the one who's like, we'll do it live?
Yeah.
I did not know that that was him.
Oh, my God. Go on
he went off. Fuck it.
Don't do it live.
Go on YouTube. It's hilarious.
It's intense.
But please
join us.
It's 6
Leave
p.m.
your fields to flowers.
6 p.m. on the West Coast. 9 p.m. on the East Coast. That's
Join
all the math
us.
I'm willing to
come
do.
Come on, waste an hour or two. Doodly do. Journey.
And what's the episode, Joelle, we're doing so everybody can...
Yes, we're doing My Lunch Classic, the heartfelt, the amazing.
My Lunch. It's a very special episode of My Lunch. And for tickets, go to my Instagram or Donald's Instagram or go to onlocationlive.com and search for Fake Doctors Real Friends. But the links are in our bios. And come join us. Tell your friends. It's going to be fun. Have a drink. Laugh with your friends.
Have a couple of drinks, you know.
You're not going to drink, though, Donald. We made a rule.
No, I don't drink when we do the podcast anymore. That is no longer happening.
Yes. It's easier for Dale to edit.
I don't smoke when we do the podcast anymore either. That is no longer happening.
Good. I'm proud of you. So join us Thursday, September 9th, and we hope you see you there. All right, everybody. Thank you. We'll see you next time. Donald.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor.